Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Learning Pod Network, brought to you by Impact Connections, where we will be taking a deep dive into the new world of learning pods that are driving educational innovation around the world. I'm your host, Steve Eno. The world has been changed forever by COVID-19. Right now, families and schools around the country are trying to figure out the best way forward without much support. That is why we have created the Impact Connections Learning Pod Network. We believe small group learning, driven by family needs and supported through a network of strong relationships, can improve education for everyone in this moment and beyond. On this podcast, we'll bring you advice from innovative educators and experts to help you create the best learning pod experience possible. If you are running your own learning pod or collection of learning pods, we would love for you to join our Impact Connections Learning Pod Network. Joining our network will give you access to all of our resources to take the teaching and learning happening in your learning pod to the next level, and will open up doors to more connections and opportunities for your students. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about the benefits and how to join. But if you would like more information now, please go to www.impactconnections.org/community. Now take your bed, we'll take a town
and make it fine till the sun breaks. For this first episode, I thought I would go into more detail about my story and what pushed me to start Impact Connections with my friend and colleague, Ned Cordemanche. This episode will hopefully be the only episode that you have to listen to just me talking, but I think it is important to paint the picture of how we got to where we are today. There are a lot of things happening in the new world of learning pods and education options during COVID-19, and it can be really hard to tell who you can trust. I hope that by telling you my story, you can get a better understanding of our mission, which is to rewire education through humanity. Our company, Impact Connections, launched in the summer of 2019 as a sandbox to explore the newest ideas in education. But to tell the full story of Impact Connections and our Learning Pod Network, I have to go back to my experience in school. I grew up in Southern California, a product of a small beach suburban community, 90s punk rock and video games. I played every sport imaginable, from football, basketball and baseball, to skateboarding, inline hockey, and snowboarding. For whatever reason, school came easy to me. I knew how to play the game, and never really had to spend much time studying. I never really thought much about what made me unique, until a girl signed my senior yearbook that she always thought I was just a nerd trapped inside a jock's body. Reading that blew my mind, but I knew at that instant that she was right. That dichotomy gave me access to many different experiences throughout high school. I was in all the honors classes and saw how teachers and the system treated high-performing students. I also had plenty of friends who struggled in school and were treated poorly by teachers because the system didn't work for them. I was able to make money tutoring students in math all around the community. And I think that is what first got me interested in teaching. Tutoring and the fact that I had one of the best math teachers in the country teaching me math 3 years in a row. Kathy Klemmer showed me what teaching could be. She inspired us daily and put the learning into our hands. Her class was a mix of using math to build creative projects and extremely high military-style expectations to get every detail correct. That may sound counterintuitive, but Klemmer's ability to demand the best out of her students in a loving way was what makes her so special. She showed me that with strong relationships, teachers can push students to accomplish just about anything. Growing up in an upper middle class community meant I didn't have much to worry about. Through sports, I got to know kids who grew up in the poorest, most dangerous parts of Los Angeles. I played rec basketball in Westchester, where I saw vast differences in economic opportunities for my teammates. During my regional baseball games, I often donated my old baseball equipment to the kids we played against right before the game, just so they had something to play with. We had to get a police escort from our Friday night football game in Compton when a gang fight broke out in the stands.
I got to know kids from other backgrounds even more through all-star games and all-area teams. I was worrying about which high-end East Coast school I would be attending for college, while they were worried about whether or not they would have a meal at home that night. It was clear to me before I even graduated high school that something had to change. When I graduated high school, I got to fly off to my college experience at Johns Hopkins University. I forgot about that inequality while I got my Bachelor's of Science degree in electrical engineering and got to play on the football and baseball teams. That idea of educational inequality must have been planted in my head and in my heart because I decided to apply for Teach for America just before I graduated. While my friends all said it would look great on a law school application, I thought that it might be the beginning of my teaching career. They all said to make sure I put on the application that I would teach anywhere in the U.S. to help my chances. But at the time, my girlfriend, who is now my wife, was in medical school in Baltimore, and I wanted to stay near her. So I went against their advice and said I could only work in Baltimore. I was turned down from the Teach for America program, which, looking back, was a really good thing. I instead got a job as a technical consultant with Saba Software, whose main product was a human capital management system that helped companies with their employee learning management. I got to learn the ins and outs of tracking employee growth through learning software while improving my hardware and software implementation skills. I had no idea that work would help shape my thinking about what is possible in education, but that may have been the perfect job to start my career. I quickly rose to a senior technical consultant in a few short years with some of the biggest clients in the company. I was already being groomed to be a project manager and rise the corporate ranks when my wife was accepted to do her residency in Los Angeles, just a few miles away from where I grew up. For the first year back in Los Angeles, I worked with my East Coast clients and finished up around 2 p.m. every day. I got in touch with my old football coach, and he immediately asked me to help him with coaching in the afternoons. I started coaching high school football at my alma mater and absolutely loved it. I felt a lot more purpose helping student athletes grow on the football field than I did deploying software. I often found myself talking to my players about their classes and how bad some of them were, and wondered if there was anything I could do to help improve their experience. I told the head football coach that I might want to get into teaching. The next week, we were running through our pregame stretches when the principal approached me. I knew him pretty well because he was a vice principal when I was a student. He heard that I might be interested in teaching, and it just so happened that the school district just got a $1 million donation to start an engineering program. He asked if I might want to begin my teaching career by launching an engineering program. I immediately said yes. Of course, I didn't realize that I would be starting a family and cutting my pay in half at the same time. Even with that factor, I knew it was the right move, and thankfully, my wife supported my passion. I was hired on with an emergency credential, something rarely given to teachers who haven't jumped through all the hoops. The school district could pull it off since engineering is considered a career technical education class. I got hired before I ever set foot in a classroom. To prepare for my time in the classroom, I taught a summer school robotics course with a handful of kids. That helped me get some practice while I searched for help. Thankfully, my favorite math teacher, Kathy Klemmer, was still teaching at the school. I asked her to lunch so I can get her advice, and I vividly remember the moment when I felt fully supported as a new teacher. Not by the traditional system, but by a deep relationship I had forged with the one teacher I had 3 years in a row in high school. She told me to trust my instincts, keep my head above water, jump through the hoops, and she will teach me everything I need to know about teaching. Little did I know I would receive way more support as a first-year teacher than any other first-year teacher I've ever met. I started teaching while taking my credential classes online and on weekends through National University. The credential program didn't really teach me much other than how to answer questions about education that don't actually help in the classroom. Klemmer came to the rescue by having me join a cohort of teachers getting trained through her Center for Math and Science teaching program at Loyola Marymount University. I had one of her staff observing my classroom and giving me feedback on a weekly basis. What was most helpful is that when they observed my classroom, they didn't focus on me at all. They focused on what my students were hearing, saying, and learning. being able to analyze what my students truly heard instead of just what I thought they heard was the most helpful training I ever received. I was able to remove my ego and put all my focus on my students' learning in my first year of teaching. That is something that won't be found in any school of education or credential program anywhere in the country. I continued to learn from Clemmer and collaborate with her as I built the engineering program. I learned how to build a program to fit the strengths of the community. I added an aerospace engineering course that could leverage the expertise of the aerospace epicenter of the world surrounding our school. I also learned to customize learning based on student needs while focusing on building deep and meaningful relationships. After a few years, I found myself coaching our first robotics challenge team, coaching football, teaching 9 different STEM courses, leading STEM innovation committees throughout the district, and would become the head baseball coach and the science department chair. I was giving everything I could to the school system, and I was enjoying it. My students were winning engineering competitions and getting invited to national and international championships for the Hyperloop Challenge and the Real World Design Challenge. Our football and baseball teams were very successful. I was learning how to run programs with annual budgets over $10,000, hiring and managing teachers and coaches to help further my vision, and I was constantly innovating to find better ways to reach students where they were. I thought I was on the path to having a lasting impact on education. I soon realized very important people were losing out because of all the time I was spending teaching and coaching. My wife and kids were not getting the support they deserved from me. Without realizing the pain I was causing, I showed my wife an article from Tim Urban's Wait But Why, titled The Tail End. It shows how much time we have left in our life through experiences like how many more times we get to vote for president, or how many more Super Bowls we get to watch, or how many more trips to the beach we have left in our life. What hit the hardest was that when we graduate high school, we have already used up 93% of the time we will ever spend with our parents. We are in the tail end of our relationship with our parents. Since my wife's family lived on the East Coast and her grandmother was in poor health and I wasn't supporting her in the way that I should have been, we made the decision to move to Maryland. I left a coaching and teaching job I would have been happy to keep my whole life. Once again, I realize now that was the best thing for me and my family. To prepare for moving to Maryland, I started looking at private schools. I knew that if I was going to teach at a public school in Maryland, I would have to jump through all the hoops of getting another certification, transferring my California teaching credential to Maryland, and I thought it just wasn't worth it for that headache. And so I searched private schools, even though deep down, it just didn't really match with my philosophy. I was a public school kid. I loved going to the school where I grew up. I loved that sense of community. But I ended up landing a job at one of the top private schools in the country, and my mindset totally changed. I was immediately won over by the facilities that could rival any small college, the mission focusing on joy and doing good in the world, and the autonomy to innovate. I was sold hook, line, and sinker, and talked about having my kids all graduate from the school, which meant I would be teaching there for 20 years. My parental instinct thought of the social network my boys would build by rubbing shoulders with the wealthiest 1%. That was a strata I never dreamed of getting access to. So I built an engineering program to fit the school's culture. Once again, guiding teams of students to the championships of international engineering competitions. The private school culture was highly geared toward getting students into the top colleges, which meant I had to find a way to fit yet another elective into student schedules already filled to the brim so they could keep up with the educational rat race. In researching the school culture, the current curriculum, and the student needs during my first year at the school, I realized that 2 other teachers had a very similar teaching philosophy as me. My students told me the design teacher and the social entrepreneurship teacher, who happens to be the co-founder of Impact Connections, Ned Cordemanche, were also teaching their content by having students create projects that solve problems for the community. So us 3 teachers all trying to solve problems in innovative ways, began meeting weekly and planning a new curriculum we called SEED, which stands for Social Entrepreneurship, Engineering, and Design. We mapped out new assessment techniques for group projects and imagined how far we could push the idea of project-based learning by having students create their own company in a class. Students would explore the entire innovation lifecycle and develop skills that would help them well beyond the classroom. It just so happened that the school got a donation to build a new innovation building just as we were designing our program. I was put in charge of designing the building, so we designed an open concept space that could fit 100 students at a time and support our new SEED curriculum. The building opened the same year we launched our program with huge interest from the students. Over 25% of the entire student population signed up to take our classes. I was then asked to become the next science department chair, so I thought I was again on my way to building a career at a school I would be at for a very long time. That is when the facade began to crumble. At some point during my time at the private school, I came across Malcolm Gladwell's episode of Revisionist History, titled Carlos Doesn't Remember. In that episode, he follows a brilliant young boy growing up in Lenox, having to walk through rival gang territory just to get to school in Hawthorne. Normally, he wouldn't have had a chance to make it through high school. His dad wasn't around, and he had to take care of his mom and his little sister. Thankfully, a philanthropist found him and worked to get him accepted to a top boarding school. Unfortunately, his mom said, "No, you can't go." Because Carlos was truly taking care of both his mom and his little sister. Then, his mom left, and he had to enter the foster care system. His mom ended up in jail, and he somehow not only survived living in 4 homes in 1 year, he kept doing well in school. There are countless kids like Carlos, smart enough to go to Harvard, but never getting the chance to be a kid or ever take the SAT. He grew up less than a mile away from a wealthy suburb on the other side of the freeway. That episode brought me to tears because I grew up in that wealthy suburb a mile away on the other side of the freeway. The education system is completely unfair, and nothing meaningful is being done about it. I was teaching in a private school. I began to take a hard look at my mission in teaching. Then, a series of events made it clear. In the midst of my deep investigation into school, I heard an interview with Caitlin Flanagan, where she shared an experience at a top private school in Los Angeles. She was the one who planted the seed in my head that private schools choose money over mission. Then I came across an article that discussed the idea of a glass floor. Kind of like the glass ceiling that limits certain populations in certain industries. The glass floor, instead, limits how far a rich kid can fall. The idea of the glass floor is that subpar rich kids will get endless opportunities, which means they can't fall below a certain level. Meanwhile, the best poor or even middle-class kid will never get anywhere near that glass floor. I could no longer stand by and watch the gap between the wealthy and the poor widen farther and farther without doing everything in my power to stop it. Maybe it took me 20 years too long to realize my lifelong mission, and I should have fought against inequality the moment I donated my baseball equipment to the opposing team. Whatever the reason, something finally clicked in my head in the waning summer months of 2019, and I had to take action. Thankfully, I had an amazing admin who supported me as I came to this reckoning, and she supported me leaving the school as soon as possible to pursue my mission to rewire education through humanity. I made the decision to leave the school just before the fall of 2019 and homeschool my boys so that I could experiment more consistently with alternative education options. I would spend 1 more semester teaching at the private school to help ease the transition. I told myself I would focus on building as strong relationships as possible while packaging all the lessons I learned in my decade of teaching into a simple process. Throughout my teaching career, I've been involved with educational research and did everything I could to bring research into the classroom. I worked with UCLA CREST, the Center for Research on Evaluation Standards and Student Testing, on multiple studies involving new physics and engineering teaching tools. I worked with Clemmer at LMU CMAST to develop science and math teaching protocols. More recently, I presented new deep learning protocols at multiple education conferences that I developed through the Washington International School Summer Institute for Teaching, one of the top summer programs for teachers to learn how to use Project Zero ideas from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. I wanted to take the best ideas from all of that work and the top pedagogical ideas in education and make it accessible to other teachers. My last semester became one of the most productive and fulfilling of my entire teaching career. I found it hard to leave because of my strong relationships with my students. Thankfully, they also gave me their full support. Once I told them I was trying to rewire education to make their experience better, they said I had to go for it because a majority of their school experience seemed worthless and they wished school focused more on learning and less on judgment, like in my classes. The end of 2019 marked the end of my acceptance that the school system had to remain the way it was because of its size, politics, and complexity. The start of 2020 was full of hope, opportunity, and fear. I admit, I was really nervous that I made the wrong choice, that I wouldn't be able to teach my elementary age kids like I could teach high school students, and that I would cause stress for our whole family. Thankfully, I tend to overplan, so I had all the recent elementary education research and neuroscience memorized before I started teaching my boys. Within one day, all my fears were gone because I was having fun spending more quality time with my boys and getting to know them better than ever. We were working on projects that I only dreamed about doing with them before. My boys were cooking, dissecting animals, launching a YouTube channel, and exploring the math, science, and history of the atomic bomb. We were doing interdisciplinary projects while experimenting with new tools to capture learning. It is amazing how little I paid attention to their learning while we were attending traditional schools. For whatever reason, I assume they were learning the most important values that we hold when it comes to learning. I thought that simply by telling them to have fun, work hard, be kind, and to fail at something every day before school started, that I was guiding them on their path through academia. I quickly realized that was not the case. Early on in homeschool, when I asked my boys to explain their thinking, they shut down. They asked me if they could just go back to worksheets because that was easier. They couldn't think beyond compliance as a third grader and a first grader. Thankfully, I was able to shift their mindset to open up a world of possibilities. During the first few months of homeschooling, I tracked my boys' learning in a different way. Instead of giving tests or grades that tried to capture large chunks of learning, imagine the crazy idea of capturing an entire semester of learning with one letter. Insane, right? I instead captured as many small chunks of learning as I could. Each day, I would gather three pieces of learning that I then categorized by the type of experience, how much my kids enjoyed it, and what they could explain that they learned. It was the start to a new learning measurement system that, with enough data, could actually help improve learning for every student in the country. I stretched my thinking about education farther in 3 months than I had in 10 years thanks to homeschooling. Homeschooling my boys has been the most fun and fulfilling teaching I have ever done and the most amazing gift I have ever been given. Then, in the spring, COVID hit the United States. It actually didn't impact our daily routine at all. Our boys kept learning, and we were already socially distanced. As I watched schools close or shift to virtual learning, and I heard the countless stories of families struggling to juggle work, childcare, school, and a global pandemic, I knew I had to help. I tried to share the lessons I have learned through teaching in every corner of the education system, but I just couldn't reach the people who needed the most help. Then, as more and more school districts announced that they would be going virtual again in the fall, parents hit a breaking point. They could not go back to the challenges they faced in the spring. A grassroots effort by parents made the idea of learning pods a viable option for the fall. Families knew that I had already been homeschooling, so people started to reach out to me for advice and to help them build a second option. Once I had too many emails, too many phone calls that I could even respond to, I knew that this was it. This was my chance to help families around the country in an extremely tough time with my idea of small chunks of learning, meaningful relationships, and a better education for every student in the United States. I know equal opportunity in education is one of the hardest problems to untangle, and many people have been working at it for years. I believe my unique history in education and my passion for learning, that causes me to read education research every free moment that I have, may allow me to bring new insights to the table. COVID is certainly unprecedented, but it has revealed the fault lines in the school system that so many educators have known about all along. The education system is complex and filled with perverse incentives and unintended consequences. When the education system does manage to take a meaningful step forward, politics often force it to take two steps back. Great people get into teaching with a heart full of gold, wanting to have a positive impact on as many students as possible. The traditional school system piles so much on these great teachers and sucks every ounce of goodwill out of them. These teachers often do just enough to survive and focus on their classroom and their students, since everything else is so overwhelming. Many times, they end up leaving the profession with a bad taste in their mouth. All of this makes the student experience less than optimal. Students are judged by measures that no longer translate to the world outside academia. The creativity is drained out of them by third grade because of a focus on compliance over anything else. Sure, there are some pockets of innovative teaching out there, but a vast majority of students in America are trudging towards an overpriced, meaningless college diploma that will leave them without the skills employers are looking for. The reality of education can change today, at this moment. Yes, during a global pandemic, during a time of social unrest, when our country is more divided than ever, while the tech giants are ripping apart the fabric of humanity, we have a chance to fix all of that. We can bring small, tight-knit communities back into our lives. We can build strong, meaningful relationships for our families that go beyond the occasional playdate or barbecue. We can guide teachers of learning pods so that every student has an adult in their lives that can inspire a love of learning. We can build a learning network where every student in the United States has access to the very best resources and opportunities our country has to offer. That is our mission at Impact Connections with the Learning Pod Network. We are excited to lead the way, and we hope you will join us as we rewire education through humanity. Thank you for listening to the Learning Pod Network. If you'd like more information about our offerings and services, please go to www.impactconnections.org. You can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at ImpactConnectED. We will also be releasing our weekly newsletter called Teaching Tuesday every Tuesday, where you'll get a summary of all of our latest information and resources that we have found as we explore the best practices of learning pods and education during COVID-19. So thank you, and we hope you'll join us next week. Take care, be well, and teach together.